Our gospel lesson today comes from John 10, 11 through 18. Listen to God's word. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this commandment from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
You might notice that Leanne read from the Gospel of John, and this lesson comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. You're going to notice some similarities. Number one, just the name. The Gospel of John was written, and then many, many years later, the church was in a little bit of disrepair. They had fallen away. They were doing their own thing. Some of them had lost hope completely. And so we have these epistles, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and they were written to the church to remind them of what was being said to them by Jesus, by the disciples, when they first became a church. In other words, hang in there. You remember, and if you've forgotten, let me help you. This comes from 1 John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I had a very, very sad childhood. I was one of two girls, and while my father absolutely adored action movies, he did not think they were necessarily appropriate for his daughters. I grew up for years not really understanding what an action movie was. Well, unless you know the things that Walt Disney came out with and they had some action in that. Okay, I got those. The action movie I remembered more than any others came out in 1981. It's gone through lots and lots of controversy, but Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark remains in my heart and my mind to this day. Now, truth be told, I like the third one the best. I like the third one the very, very best. But I remember. I also remember that my sister lived in Marion, Indiana at the time that that movie came out. And as those of you who are from this area might already know, there were times that in Marion, Indiana, when they played that movie, and there was this point where Indiana was separated from Marion, and he would call out Marion, and she would call out Indiana, and the crowd in the theater would applaud and scream and yell, Marion, Indiana. I do remember that I did not see it in the theater at that time. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know, teaching school or something, but I just did not. But a few years after it came out, I was part of a group that was taking a bunch of high school kids camping up in Minnesota. And we had rented this big bus to take us because there were over 40 of us in our group. And the person that had chartered the bus said, and you guys, this is going to be great because they have a VHS machine and we can watch movies all the way up. And so at that time, people were recording movies off of their, you know, off of their machines, and we all came with lots of movies only to discover that these machines, because it again the year, would only play original movies and not recordings. It was the quickest trip from Indianapolis to Chicago to get us to a mall so that people could go in and buy, and we had two movies, and one of them was Raiders of the Lost Ark. I hadn't seen it yet. And so everybody on the bus would say, oh, I love this part. And then somebody would say, shh, Laura hadn't seen it. Be quiet. So the first time through, it got to be a surprise for me. After that, all bets were off. And everybody said, because I think we watched that movie 5 times on the bus, going up and coming back. We were repeating them. There's something about action. And there's something that just pulls at our hearts, and Jesus reaffirms it, or affirmed it to begin with. This passage tells us that love is action. Love is not just two people who have fallen in love, but love goes so much deeper. It may start that way, or that is all interspersed within our lives, but the true definition of love is right here. It's in this scripture. It's in the scripture that Leanne read. It is God reminding us that love means action. And it's action to help other people. It's the action that we speak up and we speak out. We don't just let things happen. And yet, there's that piece of us that sometimes, well, maybe it's just me and not you, I'm kind of scared. It's kind of risky, isn't it? Sometimes it's risky to speak out, to speak words of love into situations. It gives us a responsibility. And it means that if I'm going to speak up and to speak out in those kinds of situations, then I'm responsible, especially, the scripture was clear, for those in need. That's how God designed the world. Not that we should all live in our little homes and just take care of ourselves, but God designed the world that we take care of each other. And that means that I need to sacrifice. I have to have enough self-sacrifice. Now, sometimes we think maybe we should get that. But here is a good question for all of us. At the end of each day, how did I sacrifice? I believe God honors all of our sacrifice, even if it means not eating that last piece of dessert because you know somebody in the household, that's their favorite. Share it. How did I sacrifice of my time? How did I sacrifice of my money? How did I sacrifice of my love to give to someone who doesn't know that? Hang on to that question. How did I sacrifice today? I'm notorious for thinking, I'm going to make a little sign. I'm going to have it by my bed. And every night before I go to bed, I'm going to look at it and say, how did I sacrifice today? And how can I be better tomorrow? I'm really great at having these ideas. And then about 3 weeks later, I think, now what was that I was going to make? Maybe that's one of the reasons that we're together today. To help us to remember that we're not here just for ourselves. We're not here just for our nuclear family. We're here for the family of God, which is every person. It doesn't mean that I can help in every single situation, but there are situations that I need to take blinders off and pay attention. How did I sacrifice today? I think that gives us opportunities that strengthen our faith. Because each time we do, we can remember that we don't believe just in ourselves. We believe in Jesus, our Christ. Jesus who sacrificed everything for me, for you, for all of us. Even, and maybe even especially, for those who don't yet believe. If we follow strings and threads, we see how one piece connects to another, connects to another, connects to another. It's like building an entire village of hope out of Legos, right? It reminds us that God put us on this earth to love one another. To love one another. And then God says, here's his way to start. I think God is reminding us that we're here so that we can align our feet and our tongue. I don't know about you, but procrastination runs deep in me. And I can say something, and I can believe it with my whole heart, and yet there are times when I haven't communicated that same thing with my feet. And then I'm all kinds of turned around. I know there are places that I need to go. And there are places where I don't have to go. But I need to go. When I was teaching school, I've told you before, we had court-ordered desegregation. And we were warned, because I lived out in the suburbs on the west side of Indianapolis, and we were warned to be very careful. And yet, I really felt God calling me to be present in the community where my kids who were bused came from. I needed to go to their basketball game at their little gym and see them on Saturday. I needed to be able to take a kiddo home when they missed the bus. And I needed to be able sometimes to go into their neighborhood so that I could meet with their mom or their dad or their aunt or their uncle or whoever it was, sometimes older brother, older sister. God had that in my heart. Don't just sit, but go. Align your feet with your tongue. If you say, I love you and I support you, am I willing to back that up? I wish I could tell you that I do that all the time. And yet, a lot of you know me well, and you know I don't. I don't always back up what I say with my actions. But in 1 John, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. It was a reminder to those early churches, don't hide away. Get out. Get out. And that is living the truth of the gospel. There are three tenets to that. We're asked to lay down our life. And what does that mean? Because for a lot of us, laying down our life means maybe going to war. It may mean putting myself in harm's way. But this is what it means. It means, number one, that we put other people first. Maybe we start out with just the people in our family, but then we broaden that. I know social media and Facebook, I know that gets a really bad rap. But what I noticed as I was going through Facebook in these last couple days, over and over and over again, I would read, can somebody help me with this? This young woman who just turned 18 and now is an adult and is on her own. Her mother has gone to prison and won't be back. She's graduating from high school this year. How can we help her? I need help. I need help. I have to be somewhere with my oldest child, but I can't get my two younger ones on the bus. Can somebody help me? I need help. We lost everything in a house fire, and we don't even know where to go and how to turn. Can somebody help me? Over and over and over again. I saw all of that just yesterday. And that was just here in our town. How do we reach out and help? How is it that we take what we have and we are not afraid to give it all away to people who need it? You know, as soon as we say that, we say, but how do we know how they're? That's not my business. God doesn't say to us, only give when you know what their plan is and know that they will use it appropriately, right? Now, maybe that is in the Bible and I missed it. So if somebody knows where that is, you can please show that to me. Because God doesn't say, I think what God says is that's not your business. Somebody asked and you have it. You are to give it. I believe that. Is putting others first. It's also, secondly, to live the truth of the gospel means that I'm going to live for the good of others. I'm here not just to promote me, not just to promote the people I love the most, even though that's part of it, but I'm here to live for the good of others. How can I do that? How can I? And it's in the third. It's to make time. I get so confused and so overwhelmed by the things that I think are important in my life that I forget. I can take time. I've got some time. I love that. I love that. Well, here's the tricky part. Remember, I started with a movie, and you all say Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yes, yes, yes. I love that. And I love that movie, and I love watching it. I can watch it again and again. But there's a TV show that I also watch over and over and over again. And so go ahead and feel free to judge me if you want. But I love The Big Bang Theory. I love it. It makes me laugh every time. Even if I've seen an episode 10 times, I'm still going to laugh at the same places. There are parts of that TV show that have been so brilliantly written. But if you're a fan of The Big Bang, you'll probably remember that there is a time when Sheldon, one of the main characters, has a girlfriend, Amy, also brilliant in her own right, and he is so excited to teach her about Indiana Jones movies. And after she watches the first one, she turns to Sheldon and she said, "You know, Indiana Jones didn't do anything. If you pull him out of that, everything is gonna happen exactly the way it happened. He didn't do anything." And Sheldon is shocked. So often, we get so excited about the action part that we don't follow it to its rightful conclusion. And that's when God says, that's why we need faith and love. And they need to be bound together as one package. When God creates faith in our hearts, then God creates action love. When God creates faith in our hearts, God creates active love. How do I know if I truly am faithful? It's by my actions. Do I just talk it and I don't walk it? This is what I believe. I believe that none of us can believe in Jesus without believing in love. The love that God gave us, the love that God created us with, because love leads to action. We cannot have love if we don't have action. And so, it reminds us that we are one with Christ. And when we're one with Christ, we abide with Christ. We live with Christ. And then in turn, Christ abides in us. It's a whole package deal. It's a whole reminder that any of us can be the hands and feet of Jesus any time. We just have to open our eyes, we have to believe, and we have to stay active. This week, as we say to ourselves, how did I sacrifice today? How did I show the love of God today? How did I get to be the hands and feet in Christ to someone who needed an arm around their shoulder? I shared this with you all many, many weeks ago. It was written by Teresa of Avila, who was a 16th century Spanish mystic. And she says, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless people now." As Teresa wrote this, at the very end of her life, and as she shared it with the nuns with whom she lives, we share it with us. May we be Christ today and always. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.